So you're back in Oklahoma City, and then you're 19, and you went to work for Channel 5, KOCO. Why even the television station?
I was working two jobs when I came back home. I was working two jobs. I didn't have a car, and we lived in an apartment. And I caught the bus, and I was working downtown at Lerner's and working in the evening at OIC, Opportunities Industrialization Center. And at OIC, I was teaching people how to use the cash register. And my boss, her name was Nan Wright. Nan was the community allocator for OIC. And it always makes me laugh because my son would say, my mommy is an alligator. What did your mama do? She's an alligator. So my boss decided to give me a raise and put me on full time at OIC. And that's when I went to work for Nan as an allocator. And one day she called me in because Nan and I not only went out to businesses to talk to them about making a contribution to OIC. OIC was started by Reverend Leon Sullivan out of Pennsylvania, and they had OICs all across the country. It started kind of like a trade school for people that didn't go to college or people needing new work skills, people on welfare or people coming out of prison or people coming from the service. That's why OIC was established. And so Nan called me in one day and said, what about we talked to some people at one of the television stations about creating some jobs that they can train people for, and then we'll have another source for employment. She said, I want you to call television stations and make an appointment with whoever's in charge of production or jobs or whatever, and see if they'll talk to us about creating some jobs and if they would like to be a contributor to our process. And I said, well, what stations do I call? And she said, what's your favorite station? And I said, Channel 5. And she said, why? And I said, because they have Ho-Ho the Clown and Pokey the Puppet, and that's what I look at with my son. And I said, that Ho-Ho and Pokey, they're wonderful. And so she said, well, then call that station if that's your favorite station. I said, okay. So I called out there, and they connected me to the vice president, and he was also the public relations person, and that was John Harrison. And John Harrison listened to me and said, huh, well, I didn't know anything about OIC. Is it okay if I come down and we come to OIC and we talk and maybe we can come up with something? I said, please. And so he came to OIC and he talked to a group of us that was in administration, and he came up with some production jobs and to have them trained at OIC, to have some of the professionals at Five to come to OIC and train people. And they did make a contribution to OIC. And so the second year that they were doing that, we would see John come down every once in a while. He called me and he said, I'd like to talk to you about coming to work for me. And I said, oh no, don't you have to have a degree to work at a television station? And he said, you don't have your degree, Joyce? And I said, no, I dropped out of college. And he said, oh. He said, well, I still like to talk to you. I said, okay. The lunch was was a funny situation because I was pretty sheltered, even though I had gone off and gotten married. And the reason I say I was pretty sheltered is because I invited my mother to come to lunch with us so she would be there because I was having lunch with John. And so my mother was there, and John laughed about that. He said, well, how about that? You wanted protection? I said, yes, sir. and he teased me about that for many years, but he offered me a job being his administrative assistant, because his assistant was, her and her husband were moving out of state because he had a better job offer. And he said, I would be giving tours, part-time receptionist, his administrative assistant, and helping him with maybe clients that came in to do commercials. I said, oh, well, let me think about it. And so when Mother and I left, Mother said, why did you say let you think about it. That's a, you know, you'll be working at a television station, and whatever you pays you will be more than you, what you're getting at OIC. And I said, because there's nobody black out there. And Mother said, I think there is one person. There's a black guy that gives the prayer when the television goes off at midnight. And I stayed up to watch that. And and so then I called John and I told him, okay. Because I didn't want to go if it was just all white. I went to work at Channel 5 in January. I got hired in December. I went to work in January, and it was 1970. John took me on a tour and introduced me to everybody, and everybody was, I guess, on their best behavior. And they were all nice and...
And they were all white.
Yes, yes. And so when we got back to his office, I said, where is that black guy that does the, John said, well, he's the janitor, but he's a minister at a church, and he gives the prayer when we close the station. And I said, that's the only reason I would work out here. And he said, you wouldn't work out here because I offered you the job? I said, no, you just need to have more black folk out here. He said, well, okay, I'm starting with you. I said, okay. So I went to work at Channel 5, and it was traumatic.
Traumatic?
Well, it was wonderful. Everybody was kind to me there in the station. But the phone calls and the people said, once John put me on the air 6 months.
Okay, talk to us about that. You're doing all the things he described your position to be.
Doing the telephone and giving the tours. We would have a couple of run-ins with clients that would say, you work here? Yes. Would you go out to my car and bring in my things for the commercial? And I said, no, I'm not the maid. And then a couple of times, a couple of ladies were kind of ugly, and I was ugly back. And that's when Ho-Ho came in, hugged me, and told me, Joycey, it's not nice to use ugly words. And he said, make those words so special that you only use them for special people. He said, you can't cuss out everybody. I said, okay. So it was after that about 6 months after I was there, John called me in and he said, I want you to go downstairs and I'm thinking about putting you on one of the talk shows we have. And I said, I don't have my degree. He said, yeah, you told me that. He said, but I'm going to teach you how to be on the air. He said, you can talk. And I said, okay. So John started working with me to do a talk show with the guy that had a talk show. He was a law student, and we became good friends, too.
But you kind of did an audition. They wanted to see what you looked like on camera.
Right, right. And they took me down in the studio, and John put me in the middle of the studio and had me to just answer some questions that he asked me, and I start crying. And and the camera guys were laughing. I said, I don't think I want to do this. And he said, why? And I said, because everybody will be looking at me. He said, that's okay, Joyce. That's okay if they look at you. And so...
But what made you cry?
What made me cry is just thinking about all the people that John said would be looking at me. I guess just the fear of that. But John said, Joyce, you talk all the time. So just talk. Just be Joyce.
Right. But there's more than just talking.
Yeah.
You had a nice appearance. You looked good. You on camera. I went back and I looked at some of your work you were very young.
Yeah.
And you're very attractive today, and you were then. So the eye also has to be pleased while they watch to some degree.
Well, I never thought I was, you know, even though I did modeling sometimes here in Oklahoma City under Pat Shockey, because I ran into her fashion show that she was putting on at one of the stores. One of the stores. I think it might have even been John A. Brown's many years later. And she asked me to be a model. So I had done that. But I never thought I was nice looking. And so John apparently thought I was.
And he also, not everybody is telegenic. is photographic.
Yeah.
You know, some can be good looking and the camera doesn't treat them right.
Right.
But the it treated you right.
Right.
So you had that going for you. Okay. Yeah. So he talks to you, you're crying, you don't know if you want to do this. Tell me what's next.
So we did that a couple of times, and finally he put me on the show, and it was called The Now Generation. I can't believe I can't remember the young man's name because he became an attorney. We would have guests on all the time, and when we first started off, he would just kind of tap me on the knee to say, okay, it's your turn to talk. It got easier and easier, but the first time, I cried, just the fear of people.
Yeah, that was an audition, but you didn't cry when you went on the show.
No.
Okay, so then what things did you talk about in that show?
Oh, we talked about community projects. That was one of the public service shows. I ultimately ended up doing three additional shows after that by myself, after the young man left and finished law school. Then I was put on a show called What's Happening, and did that for, I think, a year. And then I was put on a show called Black Review. And then when John talked to me about, that was during the period that Ben Tipton had closed the KBYE, closed it down, and he had been blackballed from radio. And John was saying, what do you know about this Ben Tipton? I said, Ben Tipton, everybody loves Ben Tipton. He's probably the best DJ in the whole world, you know, in our world. And he said, what would you think if about him coming out here to work? I said, I think that'd be great. I said, if anybody deserves it, he does. Ben Tipton has taught so many people. I said, even he was teaching me for a while before I got into television when I was working at the Soul Boutique. But
he was teaching your radio.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for a period of time.
So he was a big name in this town,
yes,
a radio station.
A big name.
Right.
He had been a DJ, and he had a whole crew of kids that he was teaching radio, and they were on radio on his show and had different segments during his program. He was the best-known DJ in this area. So John and I talked because John said, well, you know, he's been blackballed because he closed that station down. It was because of discrimination, some problems with discrimination, not against him because he was hired by the owner. It was some situations he had with the sons, Mr. Lynch's sons, and they were the reason that I didn't continue to take lessons from Ben at the station.
But how could Ben close the radio station down? He didn't own it.
He didn't own it. He took it off the air. He shut it down.
How could he do that? He did it.
He did it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. He didn't have the right to do it. He did it because of all of the racial problems they were having.
Yeah.
And so they, FCC apparently blackballed him because he did that. To Mr. Lynch's station, KBYE. And when John talked to me, it was not long after that had happened. It was all in newspapers and everything. And John said, I'm going to talk to our lawyers and see if it's possible for us because he's been blackballed. And I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, it means that he's not allowed to be on the air, radio or television. I said, yeah, I think you should talk to him because Ben is a good friend of mine and Ben would be wonderful. Everybody would love to see Ben. He talked to the lawyers. The lawyers met with Ben and the lawyers got FCC to release that. And he started to work at Channel 5 in the news department. And he did the show with me, Black Review, probably about two times. And then John said, why don't we give Ben the Black Review and give you another show? I said, okay. And so Ben took over Black Review and I did a Saturday review, which was just community-wide, all Oklahoma City, on different things. And Ben focused on people that had done historical things, but it was always the black community.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.